This is 89.1 KUAR. We're breaking into Here and Now so that we can bring you Governor Asa Hutchinson. He'll be speaking to reporters shortly, giving his weekly COVID-19 update. He's coming to us live from the Capitol. This is KUAR.
Nursing that provided this to me, and they have one for Dr. Romero. And Eddie, you have your mask as well. Thank you for joining me today for the weekly COVID update. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero of Secretary of Department of Health, Secretary Johnny Key of Education. I'm also very honored to have with me today Dr. Sonny Tucker, who is the Executive Director of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, who also serves on our Economic Recovery Task Force, and also joined by Father Eric Pohlmeier, pastor of Christ the King Catholic Church in Little Rock. And I appreciated my visit with you earlier. They have some words to share to about places of worship and how that needs to be handled and the encouragement that they might provide. So thank you for being with us today as well. Let me start off by saying there's not any, very little good news in today's numbers. That's probably not a surprise as we see what's happening nationally. And also it's challenging to know what this means for the future. And so just setting the stage that the numbers aren't good, the trend is not good, and we have a lot of work to do here in Arkansas and across the nation. We're in for a very challenging time, and we just have to remind ourselves every day as to the risk that is out there and the responsibility that we have. And let me start with the case report. In the last 24 hours, we've had an additional 975 PCR confirmed cases. We've had an additional 449 probable cases through antigen test. That gives us a total new cases of 1,424. In terms of confirmed deaths, we have four additional deaths. That is combined to both confirmed and probable. And obviously that reduced number is a silver lining, but we all know this is a lagging indicator, and whenever you have high numbers of hospitalization, we also know that that's probably a temporary respite and that those numbers are likely to go up regretfully. In terms of our hospitalizations, we have 24 additional hospitalized. We have our PCR and antigen testing was strong. It was 7,175 PCR test and 1,787 antigen test. That is a summary. I will mention, I know Dr. Romero will talk about a number of things. Today we see 104 cases in Benton County. You know, there's Pulaski 131, Washington 114, and Benton 104. But I know that we had 256 positive cases in the Benton County Jail. And so that's an indication that there's going to be more cases that will be reported in the coming days. You probably were going to ask me about that. Just noting that there will be some lagging numbers that will be coming in from that correctional facility. With that, let's go to the first slide. And I wanted to set the stage for Dr. Tucker and Father Pohlmeier on this, and this is the case numbers that are reported from the different counties in which the cases come from places of worship. Now, on the legend on the bottom right, you can see in the dark would be 250 to 300 cases will be the darkest, and then it scales down. The blue is 150 to 200 cases. And so you can see just from that the number of cases that we've seen across Arkansas in rural communities, in urban areas that come from places of worship. And that doesn't mean people are not being careful. It just simply means that when you have congregants together, there is a risk associated with it. And the vast majority of our places of worship are taking extra precautions and doing a very good job, but there is that risk. And then the next one is a revised guidelines that will go up on the Department of Health website, and just want to hit the highlights of it for places of worship. The first one is important. It is possible to worship safely in person if the ADH guidelines for places of worship are followed. And so we're not saying don't go to church or don't go to the house of worship. You certainly can do that if the guidelines, you know, are followed. Masks need to be worn at all times by all congregants, and that is a new guideline that we're encouraging our places of worship to follow, except those who are exempt under the guidelines. Masks are the biggest factor that contribute to safe worship. Strict 6-foot physical distancing applies to everyone aside from family groups, both indoors and outdoors. Unmasked congregational singing is a primary driver of transmission in churches, even if people are 6 feet apart, because singing produces aerosols that can increase the risk of transmission for COVID-19. And so we respect the separation of church and state. They make their decisions on their own governance and how they handle things, but we do provide the guidelines that we ask them to take into consideration from a public health standpoint, and they've done a remarkable job in respecting those guidelines. And with that, I wanted to ask Dr. Sunny Tucker to come and make comments.
And this is Dr. Sunny Tucker with the Arkansas State Baptist Convention.
It said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Our churches and faith organizations began this 1,000-mile pandemic journey with preparation, intensity, and focus. Months and months into this journey, we've surpassed the 1,000-mile mark, and we're weary and fatigued and tired. When athletes and long-distance runners are fatigued and tired, they're more prone to injury. When duck hunters are fatigued, they can be prone to go lax on their firearm safety precaution. Our churches and faith organizations, like all organizations in society, are tired and fatigued. And now we're looking at months and months into this, possibly, and no end in sight, and an increase in the coronavirus. So we have to kick in with the safety guidelines. On top of that, we're looking at a holiday season approaching with many opportunities for social gatherings and time to interact. I love Governor Hutchinson's philosophy on our economic recovery and on our faith organizations. Engage, but follow the safety guidelines and precautions. As we move ahead in this holiday season, he has shown incredible support for our churches and faith organizations. Engage, but please go by the guidelines and the safety precautions. We owe him our respect as churches and religious organizations for the support that he's shown us to follow his heart and go by the guidelines. As churches and faith organizations, we really respond to two driving, motivating factors: love for God, love for people. When we engage in worship activities and religious activities safely, we show our great respect and love for God by showing respect for the folks that he's given us to serve. So one of the greatest things we can do as churches and faith organizations is to engage with great safety and great precaution for the great people that God has allowed us to serve and to love. Let's move ahead during this holiday season, by all means, safely and with great caution.
Thank you, Dr. Tucker. Father?
Father Eric Pohlmeier is with Christ the King Church in Little Rock.
I want to start by saying thank you to Governor Hutchinson, not only for the chance to be here, to be able to speak, but also for these guidelines and the ones that have been given all along. When we began to suspend our worship back in March. We were looking forward to the day that we could return, and we're wanting to have guidance on how we could do that safely. And so I'm grateful for that. And representing a large church here in Little Rock, I can say that that has been of great benefit to us. We have worked hard to implement the wearing of masks. We have worn masks at all times in our churches since we began in May. And that has been to great benefit to us. We've been able to maintain our distancing. We've even created maps of our church and have been grateful to extra volunteers to usher people to seats so that they can sit at a distance from other people. And we've heard various stories about people who want to worship and have some fear about contracting the disease and are grateful for the security that these guidelines provide. We've also maintained wearing our masks while we sing, having only a cantor to lead singing, standing behind plexiglass, and therefore helping minimize the spread through those aerosols. And so the guidelines are a great help to us, and I also want to encourage perseverance in our efforts to observe all of these. Times like this, times like crisis, are times when we want to rely on our faith even more, and so the opportunity to worship is of supreme importance for us. Not only does it allow us to come together as a community of faith to find solidarity in our shared struggle in the face of this pandemic, but also and primarily it gives us a chance to be strengthened by God himself, by the God who has seen every crisis before, a God who understands the difficulties that we feel in our hearts, and a God who wants to reassure. And so our worship strengthens us by our presence with God. It also reminds us of our shared difficulty that we work together to try and overcome. I would also say that it's a matter for living our faith. As he mentioned, it is about loving God and loving other people. Well, this is a practice that we can put into place when we gather for worship, because it's not just a question of, do I want to wear a mask or not? But in the practice of charity, in the practice of justice, we need to be conscious of other people who might be more vulnerable than we are. It is an opportunity in a concrete way to practice those aspects of our faith that we profess, the belief that shapes the way we go about living our lives. And so we should certainly maintain that when we are gathering for worship, but our faith is not limited only to when we gather for worship. It's meant to be something that feeds the way we go about our day-to-day lives. And that idea of charity and justice is something that we have to extend to other people when we are going about in the various public settings of our life. And now it even is asked of us to maintain that charity for our own family members, for people that we enjoy being around, people that we might have to sacrifice a little time with for this greater good. And so thank you again for the chance to be here, for the reminder to us of the ways that we can worship so that we can fully benefit from this gift that God gives to us, the strength that he gives, the opportunity to bind together in our efforts to overcome this pandemic, always strengthened by the charity and justice that is our calling.
Thank you, Father Paul Meyer. I'm grateful for your words as well as Dr. Tucker's. And now let's go to the report in terms of our graphs. We'll go quickly through these. This is the new confirmed cases and probable cases combined. The confirmed cases, of course, are in dark. The white cases are the probable cases, and you can see how we've shot up from yesterday, but just as significantly, we shot up from a week ago, and most likely that's going to go up again tomorrow. Next is the seven-day rolling average. You see the trend line up. That's all you can say there. This is confirmed and probable. And this we like to look at week by week. Again, not good news how, you know, we had flattened out and actually had gone down the previous week. And so that gave me hope, but here we shot up again in terms of week to week. This is our number of active cases, again, on the rise, over 10,000 active cases. Our hospitalizations, again, are up. It's over 810, and that's, I've communicated with some of our hospitals They're making adjustments. I applaud them. And let me just pause and say how much I appreciate our doctors, our hospital workers that are doing an extraordinary job over a long period of time. And the way they're managing this is a great benefit to all our Kansans. But we have got to keep them in mind as we try to control the virus in our own lives and in our own environment. This is just to give you a flavor of our test. Our PCR tests are on schedule, 87,000 at this point. And then antigen test, we continue to test robustly, over 12,500 at this point. This is a 7-day rolling average of percent positivity in terms of PCR tests in Arkansas. And you know the 10% line, and this was back in August, that we were right above 10%, and then we consistently worked to reduce that, and then we've started moving up again, fighting against it, and we're getting close to that 10% level again. It's down a little bit today, but those numbers always go up toward the end as we get more tests come in on those dates. This is the antigen test positivity that's always higher, and you can see that. But that's another concern in our communities is the number of cases and the positivity rate that we're getting on our testing. This is a little bit of a warning for the future because I know this is hard to see, but on the last column there, you can see our testing is not as high as it, I mean, it's high, but you know, if we tested more, the cases very likely would have been more as well. And so I expect to be more tests come in over the next 24 hours as the weekend activity and those tests start coming in from that. We like to show the trend line by region, and you can see the Northwest is the top region that shot up. The blue is the Northeast. Again, they have been sort of mirroring each other. Northwest got above them. You've got the Central in the yellow. Trend line is up there. The only success story there is the Southeast, the red, that is down and is staying down. You've got the green, which is the Southwest, and that is holding fairly steady. All right, this is just quickly, this is the growth rate in public health region. Again, just as I indicated, the Northeast is growing at 9.7%, Southwest 8.3%. And then the next one, you'll see this by age group. It's not particularly a surprise. The older age group, 65 and plus, is growing at 8.6%. And I say it's not a surprise, but if you're 65 plus, you've got reasons to be very, very careful and to protect yourself. So, you know, some of this is in the nursing home environment that we're trying to be careful in, but that's an age group that has to continually be careful. But you see the 0 through 17 is the next leading age group. Young people, you can get it, and you don't know you have it, you're asymptomatic, you think life is normal, and you could be giving that to an elderly person that you love very much. This is really just a reference for our website, is our positivity by county, and it's edged up in a number of different counties. Benton County's up at 14% positivity rate. You go down to Union County, 11.1%. Pulaski County is better at 7.2%. If you look at this, it shows you what you've got to worry about in your community in terms of the spread. That concludes that. With that, Dr. Romero's been standing in the wings for a while. Dr. Romero, I invite you to come.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero with the Arkansas Department of Health. This is KUAR.
So I will add a little bit of detail to what the governor has told you and then touch on some new developments. So as mentioned, the hospitalizations have continued to increase. We are watching this very closely and have been in contact with hospitals in the metro area to see how we are dealing with this. It will probably continue to increase. What we're seeing is an increased number of cases as a result of the Halloween holiday, the activities that we're going, have gone from that. And this is a harbinger. This is something that we may see even more significantly as we enter into Thanksgiving and the Christmas and New Year holidays. So we are concerned about this. The number of individuals on a ventilator have increased. They increased by 11 and are at 124. And we are keeping a very close eye on the supply of ventilators we have within the state. The governor touched on the number of counties with cases greater than 20. We have 20 counties now that are over 20 cases reported. And as mentioned by the governor, three of these are over 100 cases. Let me say that the issue of increased cases is a significant one. As I said before, we think that this is all the result of the holiday parties that occurred a week or so ago. We have we are expecting that coming Thanksgiving, that if the recommendations are not adhered to, and again, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's the same three tenets, that is masking, social distancing, and washing of your hands, this will continue to increase. I am going to come forward today and state that I strongly discourage that persons living in assisted living, living in congregate settings, be taken away from those congregate settings and have Thanksgiving or holidays with their families. Roughly speaking, there is a 30% increased chance that you could become infected and become and die. We have seen an increase in the number of deaths since the liberalization of the visitor restrictions in nursing homes, and we're concerned that this is going to continue. So at this time, I, as Secretary of Health, am not recommending that this be done for the upcoming holidays. We have some good news, though. The FDA will be looking at a vaccine that will be coming forward from Pfizer. They showed very promising results on initial review of their data. Again, this is their data. We need to have the FDA and the ACIP review this. But it has an efficacy of 90%, and let me put that in context with our vaccines today for children. It works about as well as those vaccines we use nowadays to prevent whooping cough, diphtheria, and approaches that of measles vaccine. So this is very promising. We hope that that additional data that we review shows safety and efficacy. And hopefully that we'll have a vaccine available towards the end of this year and coming of next. Lastly, I want to mention that there is now a new monoclonal antibody that can be used for treatment of this disease as an outpatient. It will be shipped to us. We are going to be, us being the state, we will receive 900 doses of this, which will be allocated to a number of institutions throughout the state. This drug can be used in individuals that have mild to moderate disease, do not need hospitalizations, but must have confirmed COVID disease. So I'll stop here and turn it back over to the governor. Thank you very much.
Secretary Key has an important word for our schools, and then I'll open up to questions.
This is Education Secretary Johnny Key.
Thank you, Governor. Today I'll report on the number of on-site modifications as well as addressing a question that is coming into the department quite commonly over the last week and a half or so. Last week, we saw 21 schools that had to make on-site modifications, which not unexpectedly reflects the outbreak or the increase in cases in the community. That's up from 6 the week before. So as you can see, it's a significant increase. Also, just with in the first 2 days of this week, we also have seen 14 modifications just within this week. So our schools are dealing with this, and I would say that they are doing a good job of identifying close contacts, making the decisions that they need to make in order to keep school going. The question that we've been getting a lot the last few days, last probably week to 10 days, is a rumor that the state is going to call off school and require all districts to go to remote learning between Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. That is a rumor. It is unsubstantiated, and that is not something that we have recommended to the governor. So I just wanted to make sure that that's clearly stated today, that we do not have plans to close down public schools for those weeks after Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll turn it open to questions.
In light of the kind of dramatic increase in cases, what's the reason for...
This is 89.1 KUAR. We're listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson giving his weekly COVID-19 press briefing.
Well, the reason is that if you've got every epidemiologist, you've got the medical professionals, if you look at the task force of the White House, you look at the task force that Vice President Biden is setting up, they have the basic fundamental recommendations to control the spread is to wear a mask, it is to socially distance, and it is to cleanse your hands. Those are the recommendations of the top professionals across the globe in epidemiology and controlling the virus. And so if we do those things, there's not a need to do more. Whenever you look at our hospitalizations, there's always a debate you're going to have as to whether you need to put more restrictions on movement. But if we do those simple things, you don't have to put those restrictions in place.
On October 9th, the Arkansas Department of Health recommended that the state close down for 28 days, including schools and restaurants. Why did we not take that recommendation?
Well, they presented me with options to be considered. And we took a number of the options that was presented to me. We've acted on those. One of the options was to close down for 28 days, and I opted not to do that.
Would there ever be a reason that you opt to do that? Would the cases, would there be a certain threshold of cases that would warrant you to make that decision?
I would have to wait and see what the future is like. Obviously, the hospitalizations is a key part of it. But what we've learned through the course of this is that early on, there was a lot of pressure to shut down the economy. I resisted that. We didn't do that. And I don't believe it is time to go back on that decision making. Whenever you look at whether it's churches or whether it's you're looking at our restaurants, and I wouldn't want to put them at full capacity now, but they are doing an extraordinary job, and we're working on compliance as well. And the consumers have a choice as to what they do and where they go. I think it would just be wrong to say we're going to close down this particular business. It puts people out of work, particularly whenever they're doing everything that they can to protect one another. It is really where the concern comes from is from whether it's a home gathering, a party in the home, it's a Halloween activity, and you can't regulate those. So you'd be shutting down businesses that are taking precautions, but you've still got the spread through all the other activities of life. Leslie.
The Bozeman College of Public Health came out today and said, with an Arkansas pandemic poll, that said acceptance of a vaccine is middling here. They called it tepid. So what... do you think it's important that people get vaccinated, and what can you do to make people do that so that we can lower the amount of COVID in the community?
It's a very good question, and the confidence level in a vaccine is critically important to people accepting it, and people of Arkansas are cautious, and so they want to make sure the FDA is following all of their protocols, that the science backs it up, and that they can feel comfortable that it's a safe vaccine that's efficacious. And I believe that's going to happen. And whenever that final decision is made, then you're going to see the tepid response increase and become a warm response. And as they see neighbors getting the vaccine. There's going to be more and more wanting the vaccine and getting it. So it's important that we build confidence and not undermine our approval process. And then we'll get it out to the medical professionals first in the priority list. And then I have no doubt that it'll be well received as that progression happens.
At 2 o'clock, you're listening to 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Back to Governor Hutchinson and his press briefing on the pandemic.
Marketing will be a need, and that's something that we'll have funds available for that. Let's go remotely, and I think we have a number of callers, so if we could, let's start in Northwest. Does anybody have a question from Northwest?
I do.
I have a question, about the vaccine that you mentioned. As far as when it becomes available, how will it be determined which areas of the state get the most vaccine? I know it's probably too early to tell, but do we know if there will be a cost and or a limited supply?
And I'm going to ask Dr. Romero to comment on that, but it will get to our medical care workers in all the parts of the state, so that won't be limited geographically. We will have to make sure that we have the capacity for the right temperature and the storage of those, and that's something we'll continue to work on. Dr. Romero.
Health Secretary Jose Romero, coming back to the podium.
Thank you, Governor. The governor is correct in what he said. So there will be a limited supply of vaccine nationally initially. They will roll out more and more of these vaccines as they become available. We Arkansas, will receive an allotment of vaccine based on a formula of our healthcare providers in the state. We have submitted to Operation Warp Speed a list of hospitals that can handle the vaccine. It has unique storage characteristics because it is frozen, and it will be distributed from those sites. Your health department will also have an allotment of this. As we receive more and more vaccines, we will begin to ship these out to other sites. Keep in mind that this is just one of five vaccines that are currently in phase three trials, and that we expect many more vaccines to be coming in the next few months. And each of these vaccines has different storage characteristics and therefore may be easier to distribute throughout the state. And I'll stop here.
Next question, Northwest.
Governor, this is Susanna with Ozarks at Large on KUAF. I'm just wondering, that document that was brought up a little bit earlier, one of the recommendations was to increase the frequency of your briefings. So I'm just wondering if you're going to do that, because just as an observation, I guess, from just a personal observation, it felt like it was there was a little bit more urgency when you were having briefings more frequently. So I'm just wondering if you're planning to do that.
That's a possibility. Whenever we stopped the daily briefing, the interest was waning. There was a weariness that was going with that, and we've switched to weekly. Obviously, there's a greater urgency now. There's a greater caseload that's out there now, and so I'll measure that. I don't think it's time to go to a daily briefing, but we'll keep you posted if we add additional briefings, and we'll try to do it whenever there's specific news items that need to be covered or a particular issue that needs to be covered. Next question.
Governor, this is Emma Samantha Clayburgh Boyd with 4029 News. I have a question for Dr. Romero about the holidays. Is the Arkansas Department of Health going to give out holiday guidelines for things like mall Santas and holiday worship services, and also about other small family gatherings like Thanksgiving dinners and things like that?
So we have issued recommendations for the holiday. The governor has approved them. They will go on our website shortly. You're hearing the recommendations that I have regarding family gatherings. Again, they should be small if they're at all held. They should be held in an environment that does not allow transmission of the virus within the family. Regarding issues, and I think I heard you say mall Santas, is that correct? Yes. Yeah, so I think the situation speaks for itself. I mean, such close contact is probably not indicated, is not indicated at this time, and I would discourage against that. So I think we are already going forward and warning the public, trying to help the public deal with the coming holidays.
Let's go to Central Arkansas. Is there any questions from there?
Yeah, this is Andrew with AP. Had two questions for you, one COVID-related, one budget-related. Going back to possibility of further restrictions, back in September, you had talked about how if they reached a point where there were five successive days of 1,000-plus cases, you'd be open to looking at additional steps. We're obviously at that point now. I guess, what would it take, or what's kind of the, when would you reach a point that your resistance to additional restrictions or additional directives would need to revisit that resistance? When does it hit that point? Okay. And my non-COVID question had to do with your budget proposal this morning. One thing you didn't talk about at the budget hearing was Affordable Care Act. The Supreme Court heard arguments today in that case. Do you have a plan B for if the court strikes down ACA all or in part? And do you have any idea of what the impact on the budget would end up being if that happens?
Thank you, Andrew. And I really answered much of the first question earlier, explaining what the recommendations are, what our solutions are. But to me, the key is, and it always has been, our hospitalizations. And that's what is something that, you can't avoid. If the hospitals are flooded, then you've got to say, what more can we do? So that's something we'll continue to watch. In terms of the Affordable Care Act, there has been discussions on that. I'm engaged in that. If there is a change in the Affordable Care Act based upon a Supreme Court ruling, I have no doubt but that the Supreme Court will give a timeline for Congress to act, because it would take for some significant amount of time to change the systems all across the country. And so there's time to work with there, and until we know what happens, there's really a minimal amount of planning that can go in that what-if circumstance. I would expect Congress to act, but if Congress did not act, then we would have to take steps at the state level in accordance with whatever the Supreme Court decision would make. Next question.
Yes, this is Melissa Zigowitz with THV 11. Every week we keep on hearing the same message from you. You know, I expect Arkansans to do the right thing. Like, as you mentioned, wearing a mask and social distancing. But looking at the numbers, it's clear a lot of people may not be doing the right thing. Do you really believe people are listening to this message and that this current strategy or putting out more marketing at this point is really going to save lives?
The answer is yes, but you talk about me repeating the same message. What does Dr. Fauci say? What's the message he's had for 8 months? What's the message that the coronavirus task force has had? What's the message that whichever side of the aisle, it doesn't take, every epidemiologist says the same thing as to what we need to do. Now, you're speaking of compliance. Theoretically, we could go out and arrest people. We're not going to do that in Arkansas. We give a warning, but we are stressing compliance, and we're taking a number of steps to enhance that. I've talked about before, the marketing campaign is important, and so we're taking those steps, but ultimately, it's individuals doing the right thing. I can't make people do the right thing. We could, give them a warning or a ticket in a store, but you know, if they go home and they don't protect themselves there, you've got the same issue. And so we're asking Arkansans to do the right thing, just as everyone at the national level is asking for the same response, and hopefully we'll have a clear voice and a good response. Next question.
Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. I went back and looked. The last time the health department provided guidance on houses of worship was in the summer, and I looked at those guidelines, and then looking at the slide you put up today, really that's not a change. I presume that was to serve more as a reminder than anything else?
The change is the requirement to wear a mask during the service, even when singing. And so that is a modification of the guideline that was presented. Is there anything else?
Governor?
Yes.
Governor Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. As you know, the high school football playoffs start this week. As an example, Pea Ridge from Benton County, which has a high case count, is going to travel to Magnolia, where we're also seeing a surge in cases. The AAA canceled the state basketball championship in March when there were a handful of infections in four counties. How does proceeding with the football playoffs this week make any sense?
Because that was then when we knew very little. We didn't know what we were dealing with. There was an enormous amount of fear and uncertainty. The science had not been developed, and we're 8 months further along than that, so the circumstances are entirely different. I think the players, coaches have done by and large a good job during the course of the game. The challenge is the after the game celebrations, and I asked the coaches to just be mindful that it's just as important to protect the players and each other during that time as it is on the sideline.
Governor, this is Samantha Boyd with KNWA and Fox 24. I have a question regarding the Benton County Jail. We've heard from several concerned family members of those in the jail who say there is no cleaning done inside the jails. The detainees who are COVID-19 positive are quarantined together with up to 45 people in a single pod. They're not receiving any medicine, they say, and some are saying they're not even given their test results. Is there anything you're doing to address these issues as cases in the jail continue to rise?
I spoke to the sheriff of Benton County today, and he indicated to me that the inmates are segregated or separated in terms of those that have tested positive. He indicated that the vast majority are asymptomatic, I did not ask in terms of their care and their treatment, but obviously they should be handled in a way that, in fact, he did mention that they have the medical care provider that does provide care, and if anybody had symptoms that would justify more care, then that should be referred to them. I expect that we'll have more information on that in the coming days, and if they need additional assistance from the Department of Health beyond testing, then we will certainly look at providing that. But that's the information I have now. I know that they have worked very, very hard to deal with that issue there in the county, and hopefully that will not spread any further.
Hi, Governor. This is Josh White with KAIT. I wanted to go back to the October 9th memo that KATV brought up. You said that the options for consideration and that you took some of them, looking them over and reading them one by one, minus social distancing, wear a mask, and practice good hygiene, you haven't done any of the actual recommendations. So why is that?
Well, if I remember right, there was increased public messaging, which we have done. We've increased the marketing campaign. Another option was increasing our enforcement, our compliance efforts. We've done that. And so you're totally wrong on that point, that a number of the recommendations have been accepted and implemented.
To follow up on that, you've not reduced the size of gatherings of indoor. You've not done any kind of curfew, no 28-day pause, no social gatherings of greater than 48 people. You've not asked schools to resume to work remotely. You've not closed restaurants or bars or other venues.
Yes, Josh, and I've explained my thinking on that previously in answer to a number of questions. Thank you. Are there any other? Yes, Leslie.
Have you heard from or do you plan to work with President-elect Biden's vaccine task force? COVID task force, excuse me, his COVID task force.
I have not heard from them. And, you know, I think he's doing the right thing in trying to prepare for the eventuality if he wins the election and all the results come in from the different states. He's got to be prepared for that eventuality. I haven't heard from him. He would certainly be easy to work with. I worked with him when he was the United States Senate. I was head of the DEA. I worked with him when I was in Congress. So it's a good relationship there. And he would certainly be easy from my standpoint to work on behalf of Arkansas and the American people if that eventuality happens. Yes.
We're getting reports from healthcare workers that we're seeing some COVID patients coming in from other parts of the country. Do we know if this is true, and is this providing a strain on our healthcare workers here?
Dr. Romero, do you have anything on that? I mean, I know in Fort Smith they routinely have people from Oklahoma that's their hospital in their vicinity. Northwest Arkansas is going to have people from Southern Missouri. And, you know, so you're going to have in Jonesboro some of the same. So you're going to have that just in the normal course of coverage. But I think if the case is that they're being overflooded of COVID in another state and they're sending them down here, I'm not aware of that, don't have any information on that. All right. Thank you all for today's attention. Again, thank you all.
I'm sorry. Again, this is Josh with KAIT. Representative Dan Sullivan is continuing to push that COVID numbers are fake, that hospitals are labeling COVID deaths for federal money. There's a big push to pass the Freedom Resolution that allows local governments to make decisions and offset yours. As you're trying to get your message out and that message continues to beat down up here, what is your message to Representative Sullivan and his supporters?
Well, Josh, how did that resolution work out in the Craighead County Quorum Court? If I heard correctly, it was not even seconded and failed and did not have any support. So I hope that's the response from other counties that recognize the importance of what we're doing and that they need to take ownership in their community, and I think that's what's happening. Thank you.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We've been listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson and his weekly coronavirus update, speaking with reporters. Sounded very grim at the start of this briefing, saying that the latest numbers are not good, that the state is in a very challenging time. This comes after the last week has seen repeated records being set for new numbers. Today, the governor said there were 1,424 new cases of people with the coronavirus. 975 came from PCR testing, 449 probable cases using antigen tests. 4 additional deaths, with the state total now at 2,112. The governor said that while that was good, much lower than we typically have been seeing in the number of deaths. He said with so many hospitalized, and again, we did reach another record, that the number of deaths is likely to go up. Also, another record for the number of active cases, over 10,000 people now with the virus, active, currently infected, could spread it to other people being treated or suffering with this. The governor called it a warning for the future. The test results we're expecting in over the next 24 hours will reflect activity over this past weekend and has been typical during the middle of other weeks. That's when we often see spikes in cases. But questioned about whether or not it's time for Arkansas to put more restrictions in place like we saw when the pandemic first began, the governor said he didn't feel that necessary at this point, said it puts people out of work, and his concerns are whether it's people gathering at homes or parties, things that are not regulated, while places like bars and restaurants do have to abide by restrictions. Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero said that the hospitalizations continue to increase. He said he does believe Halloween activities were a factor and said that also suggests that what we could see later this month with Thanksgiving could be bad. He said that he does not recommend that people get together, especially bringing older people together, those living in assisted living facilities for Thanksgiving gatherings. Said there is a strong chance that people who are in those kind of assisted living facilities could catch this, get sick, and die. He also reemphasized again, as the governor did, that masks, social distancing, and the washing of hands are needed. Finally, Dr. Romero mentioned the potential for a vaccine. We've heard good news from Pfizer, encouraging news at least, that showing promise. And Dr. Romero said he hopes that the additional data shows that this will be effective and safe and hopefully ready by the end of the year. Finally, one other off-topic item brought up. The governor was asked about his budget. Earlier in the day, he presented his budget plan for the coming year to state lawmakers. It's a nearly $5.9 billion proposal, includes $50 million in tax cuts, and that will be considered by lawmakers during the fiscal session of the legislature that begins in January. But he was asked about a hearing that was held before the U.S. Supreme Court this morning concerning the Affordable Care Act, and if that were to be struck down, what would be the impact on the state budget? The governor said if the court were to take that action, then there would be a timeline for Congress to act, for states to prepare, and there's only a minimal amount of planning that can be done at this point. And finally, the governor asked about Vice President Biden, the president-elect, preparing a task force. The governor, a Republican, of course, stated that if Biden wins the election, then he is taking the right steps to be prepared and that he has a good working relationship with Biden, having worked with him in Washington from the times when the governor served in Congress and Homeland Security. So we'll rejoin Here and Now in Progress, and we'll have more later this afternoon here on KUAR 89.1.